All right, check 1 2 1 2.
Check. Go ahead. No, keep going.
Oh, I'm dumb checking.
No, finish it.
Don't be a dick.
You guys do this check thing a lot, don't
you? Yeah, we like the check thing. Check. We like it. Check it out. Hello, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode 11. That's where the music ends because I don't know how to fade it out. I'm Graham Elwood.
Hi, I'm Chris Mancini.
Let's do it, buddy. We got an exciting show today.
Absolutely. Should we do a couple shout-outs and then introduce our guest?
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking to the fans.
Yes.
Yes, via email and a lot of great suggestions. And we had a couple announcements we'd like to make. First of all, we're kind of looking for an intern. So if you're interested,
yeah,
send us your CV.
What does that mean?
It's British for resume.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So we're going to get some folks from the UK.
Well, Doctor Who fans.
Nerd. So. You dirty nerd. We also want to thank Jay Spaulding, one of the cheese guys, for sending a new microphone to us.
Absolutely. So we only need two more and a mixing board and we're all set.
We're not using it yet, Jay, but you're such a kind guy. And go to cheeseguys.com if anyone out there needs to buy
cheese?
A wholesale bulk cheese for your restaurant or whatever. Jay Spaulding's your guy.
Could you buy it, like, say, for my home, or is it strictly restaurant?
I think it's restaurant. I mean, you could buy it for your home, but you're going to be buying it, like, 5 cases of cheese if you guys go through that much cheese.
Well, don't judge me.
I'm not. Sorry. You and your wife
some have. People, yeah, we like cheese.
That's right. Sunday's cheese night at the Mancini house. All right. And what else? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, we did.
Sorry.
Jay had another great suggestion. He's like, you guys need a theme song. Why don't you have a contest so the fans can send in theme songs, and then we'll pick the best one.
Let's do it. Send us in what you think the opening theme song could be. Currently, we're playing music from my friend Andy Creighton with the world record. But if you have, like, a crazy theme song, we'll play it to start out the show. And maybe Jay will send you some cheese.
Absolutely. And if you have a restaurant, you'll be able to use it.
You'll be.
So send both. You can send MP3s or WAV files to info@comedyfilmnerds.com as well as intern resumes. We prefer you live in Los Angeles, but it's not necessary because of the internets.
Yeah,
there's stuff for you to do remotely, but there's more for you to do if you're local, and you'll meet more people.
A remote intern would be okay, but if you lived in L.A. and really enjoy working for free, then we could definitely use you.
And by remote, Graham means living far away, not emotionally distant.
Yeah. Yeah.
For an intern. That's really not what we look
I need
for.
You to be emotionally present.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So send us in your MP3s, and we'll do it. And then also we're looking for advertisers. So if there's anyone out there who's listening that has a relatable and doesn't necessarily have to be film, but some kind of business that relates to what we do in the podcast and on the site.
That's legal.
Yeah. If you're like into snuff films, I don't know that we would.
Close. I mean, that's.
That's film. Yeah, that's under film. The film
sure,
genre.
Sure. But those would be the two requirements.
All right. Outstanding. So info@comedyfilmnerds.com for all that stuff. And we really thank all your input on the message boards and the fans. Like, I was just working in Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas, and some fans came up. Big shout out to our cowboy guy, Randy Myers, in Fort Worth.
The guy with 10 kids?
That's the guy with 10 kids. And he was very sweet. He goes, "We're not an occult."
I bet he could use some cheese.
Randy, you hear that? Go to cheeseguys.com. Talk to Jay Shapiro. Get yourself some bulk cheese shipped out there. No, it was great. We had a great conversation about how he likes all the different podcasts and everything. So it was really cool. Thanks to all the Film Nerd fans that come out and see me on the road. And Chris.
Yeah.
What else do we got here, buddy?
I think that's it for the announcements. We'll go right into our guest.
Let's bring our guest out.
Known this guy for a long time. Very funny.
Yeah.
Always a treat to have him in studio.
In studio in the Film Nerd World Headquarters. I met this guest a long time ago working in Chicago. We've known each other a very long time. And I was just on his podcast, Comedy and Everything Else. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the garage, Jimmy Dore.
Oh, thanks for being here, fellas. I like the snowball effect. It's all right. It's feels like even more futuristic. We're talking into a ball in the middle of the table.
Yes. It's not connected to anything and hovering.
No, yeah, it's just hovering.
It looks like it would make the sound.
Yeah. Just a light robotic future hum.
It's great to be here. I haven't seen movies, but
just the genre.
Whoops.
Movies.
I haven't.
Who booked this guest?
But I do want to talk about Sandra Bullock. How about that?
I like it. What do you got to say about Sandy Bullock?
No, I don't. You know, I just it just goes to show you. I mean, how do you guys feel? I feel like she got it with coming to her. You know,
well,
in what way? Personally or professionally?
Oh, professionally and personally. Yeah, yeah. I think she deserved the Oscar, not for that movie, piece of shit. But right, that movie's all about bullshit. Like, oh, she's the white Republican saves the day. They own a string of Taco Bells. They don't give any of their fucking employees health insurance, but they save one black kid because he can play football, and all of a sudden she's Mother Teresa.
Jimmy Dore, Citizen Jimmy. Check it out. Poppin' Politics, some of the other political shows.
The Jimmy Dore Show at KPFK.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah. Get all your plugs in, Doctor.
Oh, well, yeah, tell us about Comedy and Everything Else.
Comedy and Everything Else is a podcast. We use individual microphones.
Wow. And a mixing board.
Wow.
Mixing
board. How does that work?
We use cans.
Yeah.
Do you have a team of producers?
We have, we've had a rotating team of producers. And yes, Comedy and Everything Else was started with Todd Glass, Steph Zamorano, and myself. And after 60 episodes, Todd Glass dropped out because that got too much for him. And
was it too real?
It was a little too real. The Everything Else part was killing him. But it's a great show, and you know, I mix a lot of. We talk about comedy, which when we started doing it, there weren't many other comedy podcasts out there. It was Jimmy Pardo's had just gone for pay, and then that was pretty much it. I didn't know of any other comedy podcast worth a shit that I could listen to, and so we started doing ours, and we started interviewing comedians talking about comedy. And we, you know, and people like Norm MacDonald and Jim Gaffigan and Janine Garofalo and all those people. Paula Tompkins, you know, let me put a lot of faith. Brian Regan, he doesn't do them because that was a good get.
Yeah.
I felt like. Now, he doesn't make a lot of the rounds on the podcast. So.
No. He's too busy selling out theaters.
Yeah, he's pressed. Yeah. So now everybody, you know, so that's the thing. So we talk about comedy. We do some comedy. We're always funny. We talk about current events on the show, politics.
A lot of politics.
I loved it. I did it, a week ago. I loved it. Yeah. I loved doing the show. It was a blast.
And you know what? It's actually, I listened to it. It's really insightful, too. It's not like the typical kind of liberal Republican bashing. You actually make points that are based in fact, and you keep an open mind on stuff.
And I'm not, I'm certainly not beholden to any party or ideology, and I'm certainly not a fan of Barack Obama's. You say Barack Obama. I know he's got. You guys say it different over there.
What are you, a birther?
Yeah, you know, come on. You guys don't have your long form birth certificates? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yes.
What's a long form birth certificate? You know that thing nobody ever heard of until we had a black president?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Oh, that one? In a state surrounded by water? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, huh? I keep my long form right next to my KKK card.
Yeah.
I want my country back.
From what?
That's right. I want my country back.
Outstanding.
More debt.
Yeah, that's
it's crazy. These are crazy times. Rush Limbaugh apparently is going to move someplace where they don't give people health care. Did you hear what he said? He goes, I'm going to move if they pass this. To where? To a country that doesn't give its citizens health care? Where are you going to go? Yemen? Where the fuck are you going to live?
Where are you going to go where they only speak English and are more conservative?
Yeah. And take care of their people less.
Yeah, where are you going to buy
them? Where are you going to go? Really?
Go.
Yemen, enjoy. Afghanistan.
Because I know you're not going to learn a second language. I know you refuse to do that. Yeah, so where is this going to happen? Where is it going to go?
What a weird criteria for feeling comfortable in a country. Like, yeah, nobody's getting taken care of here. The poorest aren't getting health care. I feel comfortable.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Well, then they're too weak to scale the walls built around the city.
Yeah.
That you live in.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
Actually, we call that a gated community.
Right. Right. Like Pacific Palisades.
It's up on a hill. I'm telling you, I've always wanted to become the mayor of Santa Monica so I can invade Malibu.
That's uphill, though.
And the Palisades, you're either with me or against me. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You tell the Palisades, you give them health care.
Yeah, guess what? And I also get Woodland Hills on board because I come up over Topanga,
too. I think the Palisades would just go, like, neutral. They'd strike a deal with each side.
Yeah, like fucking Switzerland. Yeah. You hear that, Palisades, you goddamn rollovers.
I would be up at the end of the seventh ray in the command post center.
Oh, yeah.
Having a portobello mushroom.
Topanga would fold those hippies up there. They're not going to want a problem.
Well, they would probably... They're in the same position that a lot of those villagers in Afghanistan are in. You know, they know that Santa Monica isn't going to stay there. They're going to leave one day.
Via the ocean.
Nice.
So, you know what?
Speaking of weird battles.
Yeah, absolutely. This sometimes we occasionally, when there's interesting news, we like to mention this. This was absolutely hilarious. Screenwriter J.D. Shapiro accepted a Razzie for his script for Battlefield Earth, winning the worst movie of the decade. So he accepted the award and he apologized for it. And this is the quote. "It wasn't as I intended. Promise. No one sets out to make a train wreck. Actually, comparing it to a train wreck isn't really fair to train wrecks because people actually want to watch those."
That I like it. I like when a guy says that.
I saw the headline that this guy ripped his own movie, which is nice to see.
God bless him. I totally respect that because we've talked about this in the show before, and I'm Jimmy. You know, we've all done things in show business that we just did for a paycheck or whatever, and I have no problem with anyone doing that.
When I did a video for Winston Cigarettes, that was because of the art.
I remember that in Chicago.
Okay, go ahead.
No, but I mean, what always drives me nuts is that when people try to defend it. Like, just honest.
Yeah.
I've hosted shitty game shows. God bless them.
Right.
They were fun.
Yeah. I wasn't selling cyanide to babies.
Yeah.
You know, everybody were having a nice time. Yeah.
Because like we rip on bad movies here, but like we always, like the movie I always like to talk about is Couples Retreat. It's a bad movie, but if you paid me $4 or $5 million to go to Tahiti,
let all the other podcasters rip on it.
I do my, it's like we're shooting Mein Kampf in Fiji. I'm on board. Yeah. I'm on board.
How was that movie bad? How do you have a bad movie with Vince Vaughn in it?
Well, you know, here's why that movie's bad is they just literally said, how can all of our friends go to Bora Bora? And so they just, you know, they just phoned it in and who cares? And God bless them. God bless them for that.
They even said the cast and crew, like it suddenly kept increasing. As people kept bringing their families,
really.
Getting others over,
yeah, everyone had a big entourage,
yeah.
So,
yeah, like, hey, why does the grip have four people with it? Why
does the grip have twins?
Yeah,
but you know, this Razzie, this guy accepted this Razzie, brings me back to Sandy Bullock.
Oh, nice!
Yeah. She accepted a Razzie and an Oscar right in the same week.
Sure did.
So look at her. I mean, that shows that's why people love her. Still, even though she chose the guy who dicked her over hard.
I'm sorry she's going through this, but I'm just like, you married a guy that had a baby with a porn star. Are you shocked that this went down? Like,
he's named after a historic villain.
Yes. He's a tattooed wingbird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What were you, Sandra
Don't
Bullock,
get mad at the puppy for peeing on the rug.
Yeah. Just set it on fire.
Yeah.
All right.
Same thing with Tiger Woods. Can't get mad at a man. $1 billion in a penis. You know, what are you going to do with it? I'll tell you how you do with it.
Well, I wouldn't text. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Woo, we're all learning that stuff.
I know.
Let's
go back to just old regular emails or something. That's
high. Phone calls. You know, that's no good because you leave text. Yeah, phone call. But
yeah,
not
phone
a phone
call.
Message.
No,
voice
no, no.
mail. You don't want to do that.
No.
Oh.
Live or nothing.
Yeah, live. That's it.
Hey, I want to talk to you about that stock. Call me back. That's all you.
Yeah, cold. Stock means you're going to suck it in a hotel room in Vegas. That's what that means.
Right.
That stock price is going up.
They both start with S.
Yeah.
It's a very simple code.
Stock price. Rhymes with cock.
Yeah.
Got that cock price. Sorry, stock.
Yeah,
no one will ever break that code.
Ever.
So let's go to In Theaters.
Let's go to In Theaters, buddy.
I saw Hot Tub Time Machine this weekend.
Who's in that?
John Cusack.
Love him.
And the guy from The Office.
Craig Robinson.
Oh, you're kidding.
And you haven't seen this trailer, Jimmy?
No.
Oh, my God.
I have to say, it was absolutely fantastic. I loved this movie. It was really, really great.
I saw Craig Robinson last night.
The trailer made me laugh, and I was like, I'm on board.
It's absolutely fantastic. And you know what? It was the kind of thing where John Cusack went into MGM, and they said, all right, we got this movie called Hot Tub Time Machine. And he was like, okay, well, I don't have to figure out what it's about. And he brought in his buddy, Steve Pink, and they took it over. They wrote it, or they rewrote it. And it's great. It's really, really funny, but it's also nostalgic for guys like us who grew up in the 80s. So it's got that really funny vibe with comedians we really like, plus like a Breakfast Club kind of feel to it, and it brings you back.
Well, that was my question. That was my, in watching the trailer, was, first of all, that's the best. They that movie sold in 4 seconds. They walked into a pitch meeting, went, hot tub time machine, boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And high concept.
And my question is, and it sounds like you answered, but I wanted to ask you, like, the only, like, apprehension I had, because I haven't seen it yet from the trailer, is it going to be too many 80s reference jokes, or did they that the right amount? Like,
that's what's so amazing about this movie. Everything was, like, done well. Like, you wonder, like, how did such a good movie slip through the grinder, you know, the machine? And I think it's because of John Cusack. This movie never would have been made without him. And it's one of the times where I think MGM was right. This movie shouldn't have been made without him, because right. You get that nostalgic feel, because you feel like, you know, One Crazy Summer and Say Anything, all the movies he was in, they're kind of slyly referenced in a lot of them.
Oh, that's great.
Crispin Glover is in it. Absolutely hilarious. Chevy Chase makes a cameo.
Really?
And it's so well done that when they go back into the 80s, the cinematography matches the 80s movies, like at a ski lodge. It's absolutely, like to the point where you're like...
Like, does it look like the movie Hot Dog? Remember that ski movie
yes.
from the 80s?
Or like, you know, like all those ski school movies.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Dean Cameron. And you're watching this movie, and you're like, now why is this feeling so nostalgic? And you realize that it's John Cusack. It's everyone's got 80s hair and, you know, all that stuff. And it's done down to the last detail of clothing, and the DP was probably around shooting these movies. And they fuck around with the time-space continuum stuff, which is really good. Like, you think the movie's going one way, and it goes another way. And the thing that really sells it is it actually, and this caught me off guard, is it has heart. It's like these characters are actual characters. It just happens to be hilarious. I know it's only March, but funniest movie of the year.
Boom.
Now,
boom!
Funniest movie of the year now.
Craig Robinson blowing up!
Absolutely.
He's great.
He's great. Really great. And the other guy from...
Rob Corddry.
Rob Corddry, fantastic too. Really, like, plays like a real creepy weirdo asshole, but he's like, he's a real character too. It's not like he always just says an asshole thing. There's like stuff going on underneath. So the thing I'm curious though, because we've got a lot of listeners in their 20s, go to the message boards. I want to know, if you see this movie, does it resonate as well with you guys? Because you guys weren't around in the 80s. Like, we were in high school. We kind of lived that lifestyle a little bit. So,
and watched all those John Hughes movies.
Yeah, and watched all those John Hughes movies. So I want to see, like, if it resonates as well with you guys as it did with us. Because the theater absolutely packed people our age. You know, there was, like, maybe two teenagers in, like, the entire
really?
Out of, like, 300 people. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And laughter and applause at the end.
I like it. I mean,
you did see it at a home for the middle-aged.
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah. It was a special screening. Yeah.
AARP screening.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, next movie.
Next movie, The Runaways.
Runaway, runaway, runaway.
Yes, Jimmy.
Do you remember The Runaways?
No. Was it the Joan Jett movie?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So tell me about it.
We didn't see it.
You didn't?
No, but there's a great review on the site from Lord Perrette, who is a crazy music fan. So he actually dissects the movie piece by piece to the point where the guys that play the sleazy agents and managers, he says the people that play them in the movie aren't as sleazy as the people in real life. So they actually got that wrong. They
wow.
like they like the because the whole point of selling that band was like the sleazy producers, they were trying to sell them as jailbait. And they never really thought them as artists or musicians or anything. Like, this is like a packaged kind of jailbait band
right.
that, you know, we can sell, make money on. And that's it. Like, do as you're told or, you know, you'll be like, you know, doing some menial day job like your better looking sister. Like, they would say stuff like that.
Jesus.
Yeah. So.
Sounds like my parents.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, are they musicians?
I'm excited to see the movie just because I love Joan Jett and I like the story. And also, you know...
Maida Ford doesn't really get her due in the movie.
Really?
Well, not on good terms with the Runaways.
Ah.
Yeah, so, one of the more successful Runaways.
And the other thing, too, is, like, I know Joan Jett has gone to, like, Afghanistan and Iraq. And that's the thing that was so impressive to me. I had this kid come up to me once who was, like, 22, 23 years old, and he was like... Man, we were at this little fire base in Afghanistan, and Joan Jett came, and she fucking rocked, man. I'm like, she's got to be 48, 50 years old, you know, and this kid who'd probably never heard of Joan Jett would never know who she was or care, but because she came to his base, he like bought her CD and was ready to rock and roll.
I love rock and roll.
She was on Letterman about a week or two ago.
Really? How was it?
She was rocking hard.
She kicks ass.
Yeah.
She seems like she'd punch you in the face.
Yeah, she's got those Madonna arms now, you know?
Yeah, she's got some guns.
Yeah.
Nice guns. Nice guns. And here's the thing, she's too, for the listeners, Lord Corrett is sort of our on-staff, like, rock and roll film reviewer, and he hasn't written something in a while, so read this and then go into the archives, because he's got a lot of interesting reviews about any like rock documentaries and stuff like that.
Elvis movies. And
His parents really thought a lot of him to give him that name, don't you think?
Lord Corrett,
yeah,
yes.
You're naming your kid Lord. It's like, whoa.
That's a lot to live up to. Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't, but it's a big name. It's hard to live up to that name. He's a great. He's not Lord.
Yeah, that's a big...
He's great. But that's still not Lord, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
No, he's not the Lord of hosts.
I forgot how religious you are.
You know me. I like, I believe in the deity. I've been
a specific one or just in general?
Just in general.
The genre of deity?
Yeah, I like them. I like their costumes.
What are you going to name your kid, Buddha?
I'll probably, Buddha sounds good. I actually had a friend growing up, we used to call him Buddha.
Really? Because he's a heavyset dude?
Fat guy, looked like Buddha.
And giant earrings?
Yeah, rubbed his belly and got rid of all his earthly possessions. And
constantly smiling in a robe.
Yeah, was under the Bodhi tree of enlightenment, that guy?
He took a nap in the lotus flower.
Jimmy Dore, ladies and gentlemen. Well, then the movie... All right, the next movie I want to talk about is How to Train Your Dragon.
In the 3D.
And overall, I really like this movie.
It's been a good week for movies.
It's been a really good week
for
movies.
What's this called?
How to Train Your Dragon.
Watch your mouth.
Here's the thing about How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh!
Hey, easy. Want to train my dragon?
You got to keep both hands on it.
Yeah.
See, now, that's something you shouldn't text if you're Tiger Woods.
No. Right. Don't
how
say,
to train my dragon.
Yeah, you want to train my dragon?
I want to drain that dragon.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, get over here, bye, baby.
That dragon stock price is going up. Yeah. But, you know, if you say, how do you train that dragon, and your wife catches you, go, baby, it's a new golf club. It's a golf club thing.
Yeah. In 3D.
In 3D.
Three dicks.
Three zip. Boom.
Boom.
3D.
Stock price.
Special glasses for that. So here's the thing about that movie.
What movie?
How to Train Your Dragon in 3D.
Whoa!
Is, honestly, I wanted to go, hey, James Cameron, this is how you have an engaging story with great special effects.
Oh.
Like, there's some really cool 3D in here. There's some moments where I was like, did we need 3D? You know, because I'm sort of leery now because of Alice in Wonderland. Like, they're just like, oh, how can we jack up ticket prices? Like, we're going to put everything in 3D.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Up was a fucking ripoff as far as the 3D went. Like, the previews for the other 3D stuff was better than the movie. Way better.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? You see Up?
Yeah, I saw it in 3D. And it looked okay, but it wasn't necessary.
You didn't need it. No, they didn't do anything cool in 3D.
Yeah.
Look at me. I saw movies.
Boom! Jimmy Dore.
Bringing it home.
So I think there was enough in there to justify 3D. I mean, just enough. But overall, you know, there's some, in the beginning it was a little slow, and there's some parts in there that are kind of cutesy kid movie stuff, but I'm willing to let that go because it is a kid's movie, but I was really engaged. I really cared about the lead character and the other characters, and it was when he starts meeting the dragon and how he learns. It's really interesting.
So it was a more nuanced cartoon than Avatar.
Yeah, well, Avatar is like, if people say, well, it's a kid's movie. Well, that's one of those kid's movies, like the news. It's like, remember that show, The New Zoo Review, that was so condescending? I hated that show when
terrible.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
Fucking, I get something on my lip. Gone? Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank God.
Thank God we got it.
Well, there goes another text to Tiger Woods.
So it was really cool and it's got, you know, it's got a fairly predictable story like a lot of kids' movies, but that's again,
like he actually trains the dragon.
Of course, yeah. I mean, and it's really cool.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
It's in the title.
And it's not, you know, and the flying around on the dragon stuff is cool. Like,
that's what Neil said. That was one of the best parts of 3D.
It was really, but and that's the part that, like, is cool as the special effects were in Avatar. I kept waiting. I was like so ready for the, oh, they're going to get on the blue people are going to get on the pterodactyl in Avatar Land, and it's going to be this roller coaster, and they just didn't do enough of it. And this dragon 3D movie, like, I really liked it.
You were waiting for that Tarzan vine zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you really, like, if it's going to be 3D, then take me, if I'm
ready,
right, exactly. I want to do it.
Make it
3D. So I definitely, and you know, you were asking me if it's okay for your daughter. I think is 7 or 8 years old.
That's exactly what Neil said.
Yeah,
he said,
yeah.
Five's a little young. Go wait about 7 or 8.
A 9 year old is going to think this is the coolest movie they've ever seen.
Right.
Oh, you know? A 9 year old is going to train his dragon on.
Boom!
Oh, come on!
So let's. I want to talk about before we get in the DVD releases. Oh yeah, and as Chris said, Neil has a review of How to Train Your Dragon in 3D. So and there's is your Hot Tub Time Machine review up?
No, not yet. That'll be up. Oh, wasn't Dave Anthony doing one?
Yes.
For Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes.
I was waiting for his.
You guys got everybody writing for you.
That's what we do. We might get a new writer in the name of Jimmy Dorst.
Right.
You can do DVDs since you don't know how to go to movie theaters.
All it takes is some compromising pictures.
I'm going home to watch District 9 tonight, right after this.
Outstanding.
That's so I can review that one. No, I'll definitely do the Groundhog Day. That's my favorite.
Yeah, review Groundhog Day. Absolutely. That would be great. And then I wanted to talk. One of the main reasons having you on the show was I wanted to talk about. I talked about a little bit in a past episode, the Hardwick episode, because I saw the American, the Bill Hicks story documentary at South by Southwest.
Oh, okay.
And
So how'd you like it? Oh, come closer.
Yeah, come a little closer.
How did you like it?
I liked it a lot. You know, it meant a lot to me because we saw him perform at the Funny Firm when we were just starting out in Chicago.
Right.
And so there's clips of him performing on that stage, which was awesome, and just the history of how we started. Like, I didn't know him and his brother were teenagers that snuck out of their parents' house to go do, they like drive
when
to
they
Houston.
Were 16, yeah.
And so it was really cool. And then to see, like, you know, his incarnation of, you know, he became the drunk rock and roll guy, and then his act, he started not doing well because his drug and alcohol abuse was kind of, it took over the show, and he was this drunk lunatic, and he lost his edge and then got clean and came back. And when he came back is when he had that the resurgence where we saw him.
Yeah. I saw him sober. I never saw him drunk.
Yeah. I never saw him drunk either. And sober is when he really started writing and getting biting and all that stuff. And the filmmakers are English. So they talked a lot about how he was better received in England than he was here.
Yeah. Well, when they showed his special, one of his specials, they showed it at like 8 o'clock in the evening on primetime television on one of the channels, you know, the BBC. You know, here it's on you got HBO and it's on at 11 o'clock at night, and you know, so nobody saw it.
Right.
But over there, it was on like everybody saw it. So
and there's only like 4 channels.
Yeah, there was only 4 channels. It was very much unlike the United States. So yeah, that's why. I think he was so popular over there.
Well, they talked about it too. Like they showed, you know, and he one of the things he got bummed out by performing in the States is, and it's even more evident now, is you touch on any sort of political thing, if people don't agree with it, they really get mad or tuned out or whatever.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that weird? That's gotten weird. So much better now.
Yeah, it's totally improved now.
Yeah, people are so much more open minded.
Yeah,
you can always make fun of Democrats.
Right.
Always. It's only when you I'm not kidding. You can make fun of Barack Obama from now until then. No one's ever going to heckle you back for making fun of Barack Obama. But you make fun of George Bush, people give you shit without thinking about it. You know? I made fun of Dick Cheney in Atlanta. Someone fucking said, "Be respectful."
No way, really?
Yeah. I'm Dick Cheney. I go, I didn't get the list. Who else can I make fun of? Is Hitler okay?
Yeah. Other guys that shoot their buddies in the back.
In the face.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Bill Hicks, but he was very confrontational. Like, that was his thing. I go the other way. Like, I try to talk about the same things he talked about, you know, I mean, but I do it, like, I try to be sillier than, and then, I mean, there was a time when everybody was trying to copy Bill Hicks. It was fairly boring, especially if you went to Texas. Holy shit.
Yeah, they all came out of Texas yelling.
Oh, smoking and, on stage. Yeah, and dogs. Yeah. Shut
the all of a sudden, comedy was filled with anti-comics.
Yeah.
And pissing the crowd off was like a badge of honor. Yeah. And if you got big laughs, you were selling out. Yeah. It was like, I thought we were getting paid to make them laugh.
I suck, therefore I'm great.
Yes.
No, that's not what Bill Hicks was doing.
That's not what Bill Hicks is doing at all.
No, he was actually great. That's why he was great.
He wrote great jokes. Yeah. And I remember the time you and I saw him. He was at the Funny Firm, which is a club that's been closed for a long time in Chicago. But at the time in the early 90s, it was, this is when Chicago had two 500-seat clubs a block from each other. This is, you know, and we were in the back of the in the room at the Funny Firm, and he was, and we were, what all comics were doing, young comics, were just watching this guy in awe, you know. And he would do his written material, and then he'd riff. And then he said, does anyone have any questions? And you yelled out.
What did I said, what do you think of Dennis Leary?
Yeah, what do you think of Dennis Leary? And Leary had just started to blow up a little bit. And Hicks said, it's good to see my act from 3 years ago still working.
Yeah, it's good to see. Hey, it's good to see I was funny 5 years ago.
Yeah. And we the crowd kind of laughed, but all the comics in the back of the room, like, our heads exploded.
And he also said, he goes, yeah, I like, you know, he's against the... He goes, what the man is bad, except for Nike in the Gap.
Yeah.
That's what he did. Yeah. But fuck the man, except for Nike in the Gap. And he just started lit. It was pretty funny.
Because you saw him two nights in a row. Like, what were some of the other things that you remember?
I used to see him. I probably saw him 60 times do comedy. Because he used to, whenever he did a show in Chicago, I would always see it, you know. And it was amazing. Because he was sober in it. So he was clicking on all cylinders. But it was also funny to watch a crowd not get him.
Even on TV, it was like he would never like compromise. Like, oh, this is my TV set. This is my club set. I saw him on TV once, and he starts his set with, if you work in advertising, you should really just kill yourself right now, seriously. And he just went on about how you should kill yourself if you work in advertising.
Well, his last television set got censored. It didn't get shown. Letterman. David Letterman. And then David Letterman, 15 years later, at I think the 15-year anniversary of his death, decided to show it. You know, and had his mother on and made a big deal out of it. And then when you watch it, you're like, what the hell's the problem with that thing?
Right,
and
you
should have fought a little fucking harder, Dave. And what the hell was that about? Why did you let that happen to, you know, his last thing, one of the greatest comics of all time, the last thing he did for your show, you slapped him in the face. And then he died. You know, for no reason. All he did was do a great job.
Yeah.
And then it was just like I can't believe Dave didn't make a bigger deal out of it. And like I remember watching another documentary on Bill Hicks called "It's Just a Ride."
When did that come out?
I think late 90s.
Uh-huh.
And they were interviewed David Letterman on it. He said, "Yeah, I felt bad about that. I should have fought harder." He said that, and I was like, "Well, why don't you show it now?" I thought just go show it now. Why? What the fuck?
Yeah.
And he eventually did.
And now, isn't it on YouTube now?
Oh, that said, I don't know. I'm sure it is
probably
somewhere.
Yeah, have to be.
But he had his mother come out.
If there's 100 things called Fat Kid Falling, chances are...
Yeah.
Bill Hicks' last set is on there.
No, it was cool because like his mom was at the screening in Austin at South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
So what? Because I didn't see when they showed it on Letterman. Did his mom say... Did Hicks' mom say anything on the air with Letterman?
Yeah, they had a long interview.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And Dave was... You know, he's trying to make up for screwing up, I think, and he's being overly nice to his mother and blah blah blah, and then they showed it, and it was hilarious.
Of course,
it was great. You know, he's talking about, you know, if you're against the death, if you're so pro life, let's see how committed you are. Why don't you don't lock arms and block med clinics? Why don't you block arms and block cemeteries? Let's see how committed you are to this pro life thing. It's like, what are you doing? She's dead. There are options. She was 90. There are options. It's, you know, some bit like that.
Well, that's cool. So I would, for those of you who don't know who Bill Hicks is, do a Google search. Go to YouTube and watch some of his act. And then look for American, the Bill Hicks story.
Does that have a distributor yet?
I don't know. I think they were trying to get that tied up at South by. So I don't know if they sold it yet or not.
Here's the great thing. Even if they don't have a distributor, I'm sure you could get it. So
they'll find it. You'll be able to get it within the next year. I'm sure Netflix will have it in the next year. Right. Like it's really worth it. And he was really kind of revolutionary.
Well, it's funny. He's been dead since '94, and he only really toured, sober and seriously for maybe 10 years.
It was like six or seven years sober,
yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was. I mean,
and he at just, the height of the comedy clubs, though, too.
Yeah,
there were a lot more clubs.
But he wasn't really working. I mean, I didn't see the documentary yet, but what I was told was that there was only a handful of places that would actually work him.
There was some of that, but then that's also part of why they talked about him going to England, because he was on the road a lot in the States working, but then it kind of dried up a little bit because he'd go to these places and he'd walk people and the club owners would be like, what am I supposed to do? I got to sell drinks, and if these people are walking out.
Open up a bar in the parking lot. Come on, think outside the box.
Yes, get creative.
Hire a juggler, put him in the handicap space.
And the other thing too about this movie, and I think I mentioned it on the last episode, they do it in the kid stays in the picture style, where they take the photos and really make them interesting. And I have a full review of it up on the site, so it's really worth seeing.
Yeah, you think it's a good movie?
It's definitely worth seeing, and it's just if you know a lot about Hicks, you'll love it. If you never knew who he was, it's really great to learn about this guy. So
I heard there's a book out about his life. Somebody wrote another biography.
Oh wow, I don't know.
Which it's like I think I know everything there is to know about Bill Hicks at this point, but I'd like to see this movie still.
Yeah, you'll like the movie a lot, and seeing him on the Funny Firm stage is for
I have that tape.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really really cool.
Yeah, when he's telling that woman that I'm a drunk cunt, I get to yell at performers. Why don't you get out?
Oh, Jesus. It's so great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into what's coming out on DVD.
Actually, Jimmy, Blindside.
Your favorite movie is coming out.
Favorite movie. Bullshit.
What did you really think of this movie?
Sandy Bullock is fantastic in it, but the message is that bullshit,
But it's based on a true story, so it's not like they doctored it up. I mean, it really happened.
I heard they really doctored it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very, like, the family wasn't...
It's actually a Chinese kid, and it was table tennis?
on a submarine.
On a submarine, all right. Weird.
Yeah, a lot of liberties with that script. give us your take, Jimmy. What was the biggest part of the bullshit that...
No, I just told you the whole problem with it, right? It's like they're supposed to be these do-gooders, but, they own all these Taco Bells, and they don't fucking give... they don't really do good, and then... Nobody's got health insurance who works for them, and they take in one black kid only because he can play fucking football. Right? I mean, I've been through my problems with this movie.
How do you got to win ball games, Jimmy? I mean, we're talking about, football in the South. Like, ball games got to be won.
I understand that. I'm just saying that,
More winners in the ball games, more tacos get
sold. More tacos get sold, kiddo.
I'm just saying you don't have to make a movie about them. I mean, they're already winning the games. What, did you guys like the movie?
I thought it was okay. I thought it definitely had its moments that were kind of like an after school special. But I'm kind of a sucker for a story like that. I mean, I get really drawn into it. And I like Sandra Bullock.
Graham likes when people walk on the side of the road.
Yeah, well, anytime someone walks on the side of the road, I'm aboard. That's why I love The Road, because that's all that movie is.
And the end of every episode of The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I love it. I think it was okay. I mean, I do like Sandra Bullock.
You don't think she won for that movie, right?
I think it's a body of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like when they gave it to for Scent of a Woman,
Al Pacino.
Yeah, like that movie, piece of shit that movie was. And then they gave it to him. Hoo ha! Really?
Yeah.
And you're like,
that's your second column.
Oh, like, can't you give it to him for the Glengarry Glenn Ross? If you're going to give it to him for something, give it to him for Scent of a Woman. I wanted both of those guys dead at the end of the fucking movie. Him and Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Oh, kill yourself.
What about Dick Tracy?
Oh, I like Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy.
Played that crazy villain and all that makeup. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I just saw The Graduate again.
That's a great movie.
And you know, in that movie, she wasn't that much older than him. Like, in real life. Like, she was something like 8 years older than him, and she was playing, supposed to be old enough to be his mother.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was smoking back
then. That was back then when 40 was really old, you know?
Yeah.
But she still was, yeah, she was smoking.
Well, life expectancy was lower. I mean, people didn't really live past 50.
Yeah, that's when 65. 65 was, not a lot of people lived past then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because of the cigarettes.
Right. I think it was a cigarette, probably was, right?
Watch Mad Men.
Oh, I gotta watch Mad Men.
Oh God, you gotta watch that show.
Yeah, everybody's telling me my. Oh, I'm not supposed to say anything. I know somebody who wrote a coffee book that's coming out, and I don't know if they want me to say anything.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Very nice, cryptic.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Way to tease.
Let's back it up. Let's back up. Yeah.
Here's something you'll be interested. I can't say.
So what else is coming on DVD?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh,
Wes Anderson animated movie with George Clooney and Meryl Streep.
We have a review of that.
Yes, Jackie Cation loved it. And the thing I loved about it the most was she said about, you know, Wes Anderson looks like he doesn't care when he's making movies, but when you make a stop-motion movie that it's like something like 24 frames per second, mm-hmm. you kind of have to care.
You have to care.
When you're making a movie like that. And she said it was really good.
Yeah, Jackie Cation loved the film. So.
Why would you want to do a film that is that labor-intensive? I heard them talking about making this movie with Terry Gross. And you're just like, why would you do this? Why are you doing this?
When you're a bored millionaire,
yeah,
you
can do whatever you want.
Well, there's two ways to go when you're a bored millionaire.
Yeah.
There's stop motion animation, which takes forever, or couples retreat. Let's go make that movie.
I'll go couples retreat.
Yeah, I go Bora
so
Bora.
To me, stop motion animation is like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go empty the Hudson Bay with a spoon.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 50 years.
See you in 50 years.
We're having a contest. First person to empty the Hudson Bay with a spoon gets a free CD.
Yeah. Gets an animation class.
In Flash.
Yeah. I mean, really, that stuff is... Come on. The fact... Like, if you thought that up, like, hey, I have this new way to do something, people go, are you fucking crazy? You know how long that would take? Are you nuts? That's 24 frames per second that you have to do... Get out of here.
How long did it take him to make it?
A while. I don't know exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Great time estimate.
Yeah. Longer than normal.
Him talking about how, yeah, it was the kind of project where, you know, I would think about, oh, I have an idea for a cloud.
Make cotton balls. Yeah. And put them together. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then we were making a certain type of wheat. And I was like, boy, we're really doing something different here now. We're making wheat. You're like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think
the craziest thing.
I think that's that is the deal with stop motion animation. Is the people
like, why did you climb Mount Everest?
The people, yeah,
because it was there.
Well, I think the people that really like it, like Jackie, loves it, and she loves stop motion animation, and she talks about in the episode. I think it was episode 5 that she did with us. 4 or 5. And she really likes it. And I think the people that really like stop motion animation are the same people that like to make it. Like, they're really into it. Like Chris said, mountain climbers. People are like, yeah. And then there's the whole mountain climbing community, and they get into it, and they all buy the stuff, and everyone likes making clouds for 500 hours.
Yeah. Right. Some people are into scat.
You know? Sure, sure. And you're not going to talk them out of it.
No. Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah, she was in the scat.
Yeah, that's that radio station here. We have that 106.7.
It's all scat all the time.
Well, you try to tell them that ska is dead, they won't listen.
No.
It's all they play.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Is ska dead?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Ska's about as thriving as Latin. It's the Latin language.
And mountain climbing.
All right, let's go to
What were the Violent Femmes?
They were punk.
Oh, that's punk.
I was like, they were like called punk new wave.
They were barely electric.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Acoustic punk.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of Dennis Miller's first guests when he had his talk show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a nice little piece of trivia.
That's good.
Yeah, Brian Regan wore a purple suit coat when he did his set.
Nice.
So I let you know.
All right, and I'm going to check you two for the accuracy.
Did he get it?
It is purple.
Did he get it from Bernie Mac? All right. Let's. So the next DVD is Brothers, which we talked about on the show.
Bernie Mac, which suit do you want? Give me the banana one.
So Brothers we talked about it and there's a review of it on the site. You know, the thing I like all the Brothers. Actors. Brothers is with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
And Princess Leia's mom. And, you know,
did they kiss?
Yeah.
Did they kiss in it, Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, no, it's not.
Not one of those?
No, it's not one of those. Everything is in Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, it's Brothers, not Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's but not... he did do Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a different movie.
Once gay.
Yeah. Yeah, you get typecast? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying. You can type ass.
Yeah. That's I think he's searching out for it.
Woo!
So, yeah, this is a really good gay porn.
Okay.
Check it out. No, no, Brothers, and I talked about it, I think, when Mike Schmidt was on the episode, was it's I like Tobey Maguire a lot, and I like his depiction of a soldier that was a POW that comes back from Afghanistan, and he's a little thrown in the head. But it's like, as I said before, it's a relationship movie about a married couple and a brother with the light and airy backdrop of post-traumatic stress. So it's like they really...
Nice.
They really... I wish that... No one yet has really done a movie that is full-blown about post-traumatic stress. And we might have to wait till this war is over because, like, the best Vietnam movies came out after the war ended, you know? And I think that needs to happen for us as a society and filmmakers and everybody to sort of digest it and then come up with something because... I'm waiting to see, I mean, in the Valley of Allah talked about it a little bit, but there really hasn't been like a concise movie about what the post-traumatic stress specific to these wars and what these men and women are coming back with. And this movie tried to touch on it, but it's such an intense subject matter. You can't half go into that subject matter. And I think that was the problem I had with Brothers.
Oh, okay.
No, and then he turns into Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, because it's... Oh, sorry. It's it just takes me a while with movies. I've seen more than I remember. So, but you think the post traumatic stress will be different from Iraq than it would be, like, say, from World War II?
Well, I think
after seeing Private Ryan, I would think that they would be pretty close to say.
I would say again. I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying
you're not a doctor.
No, no.
Oh, okay. God damn it. Then.
Yeah.
Well, what was that before?
That was free.
Oh. I think in terms of.
I think I'm supposed to cough when you do that.
Could you bend over, Jimmy? Yeah, let me massage your prostate before we do this next review.
Oh boy!
You know, Graham doesn't go for all those rules for the medical association.
Yeah. Graham's more about training your.
He's
dragon.
He's more of a healer.
Yeah, I train your dragon, Jimmy. I'm going to train your dragon tonight, boss. No, I think what I'm saying is obviously post-traumatic stress is post-traumatic stress, and it. You don't have to be a soldier. You could have it from being in a car accident or being robbed or something like that. But I think what is specific to this is like from different from Vietnam was a jungle conflict and this is an urban war, you know? And I just think some of those, if you get into the particulars of that, that might change it. And also the era of society, World War II guys had it. We didn't know what it was. We didn't talk about it.
Right, called shell shocked.
Yeah, it's called shell shocked. Yeah. And you know, there's a great play called Hatful of Rain, which is about this guy who's a heroin addict, and they go into in World War II, guys when they were wounded, got seriously wounded, they were given morphine, and they all came back with serious morphine addictions. That's one of the reasons why heroin blew up in the late 40s and 50s in the jazz scene, where these returning vets were hooked on morphine.
But the weird thing is they hated jazz.
But also, like, that's also how the biker gangs started in the late 40s. They were soldiers that came back and said, I can't do society anymore after seeing that shit, after being in Guadalcanal or whatever. And so that's what I'm talking about. That post-traumatic stress and the way it was dealt with was specific to that era in history. And also the way the soldiers were treated when they returned was different, obviously, from every war. So I'm curious, you know, people aren't treating soldiers the way they were after Vietnam, but there's just sort of, and we talked about it on your podcast, there's just a prevailing apathy. And people are just, oh, is there still a war over there?
Yeah,
you know, right. Like, what's going on? And so I'm curious to see, to bring it back, a movie that really deals with this era of soldier and how, you know, this era of soldier that was raised in the 80s and 90s and is now in combat and how they're dealing with it, because the soldier from World War II was raised in the Depression as a child.
And without homoerotic wrestling.
Yeah.
Like in the Hurt Locker.
Yeah, the Hurt Locker. So I mean, I really like the Hurt Locker. But Brothers, my point is on Brothers is you have to make a post-traumatic stress movie or not.
Not.
Right. You can't half throw that subject right. matter in there. You know what I mean? So that's my take on that. But there's some good performances in there by Tobey Maguire. And Jake Gyllenhaal is decent, but Tobey Maguire has a good performance. So
great.
That might be worth watching on DVD.
Last one coming out is actually one that people have been waiting for a very long time, a restored transfer of African Queen.
Oh, nice. It's the Dennis Rodman project?
Yeah.
That's the subtitle. This is the Humphrey Bogart movie. It's essentially a road movie, really, yeah. on a boat.
Yeah.
Down the road.
It's kind of like The Hangover.
Yeah. It's actually a great movie. I think it's John Ford, right?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, it was his popcorn movie, African Queen. And
really?
It was like one of his most popular movies.
Wasn't there like a crazy story in the shooting of this? Didn't this movie like take forever to make?
Yeah, it was like a Terry Gilliam movie.
Right.
Almost, but it actually got finished.
Yeah. But wasn't there like some sort of Apocalypse Now style? Like it took 2 years or something to finish with African Queen?
I don't think it took that long, but it was that kind of thing where I'm like, oh, we're in the middle of Africa on a boat. You know, it's going to be hard to film.
Yeah. It's going to be like stop motion animation.
Yeah, yeah. Climb that mountain.
Why would you fucking do that?
Yeah. But guess what? We've got some crazy stuff coming up.
Oh, release the Kraken!
Yep, release the Kraken. Coming up, Clash of the Titans remake. And you know what? I was against this at the beginning, but once I saw the trailer, I'm like, no, I'm on board.
I gotta see it to see what the Kraken is.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
This is the movie
Clash
called
of the Titans.
And there's a scene in it where Liam Neeson plays Zeus. Yeah, and
It's a remake.
Okay.
And he says, release the Kraken.
That's like a famous line from the original.
The original.
And that's prominently displayed in the trailer for... and the Kraken's like this huge, crazy monster.
Crazy
with a
monster.
Million teeth. And
sounds like something Dan Whitney would say, hey, release my Kraken. You're done.
Get it done.
Huh? Release the Kraken. That's what he said when he bent over to... That's what he said when he bent over to fix the TV. He said, look at that, release the Kraken.
Lord, I apologize for that remark. It's just that after every joke, too. Anyway, so release Dan Whitney, please.
I just want to know how they're going to get the Kraken back in. That's always my question.
It's like, how did they, you know, recapture the Kraken?
Yeah.
No one ever says that.
It's your turn to feed the Kraken.
What is the Kraken?
It's a giant
sea monster.
Giant sea monster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's realistic.
So, and of course, right before they got released, all of a sudden now it has a 3D next to it.
Oh, yeah.
So
of
course. Jump up at different prices. Next movie coming out in an interesting counter-programming move, The Last Song, Miley Cyrus's dramatic role.
You know, what we say about this movie, if we say it's bad, if we review it, it's not going to matter.
No.
Teenagers are
going to
see this.
There is not one person listening to us right now that is going to see that movie. It's not going to happen.
If any of our fans who are loyal, awesome fans are like, I'm going to go see The Last Song, maybe you should stop listening. Maybe
I would go even further. Not only is no one that listens to us going to see that movie, no one that listens to us knows anybody who's going to see that movie.
No, maybe somebody has a niece.
Unless you
count. Like, I've gotten two nieces.
If
they're
going to
go see it, and that's great. God bless her.
And they're going to wonder why she's not in the blonde wig singing songs.
Yeah. And she falls in love with the guy that's dreaming.
Because, you know, it is like supposedly her dramatic role to like break out of that character that... no one wants her to break out of, you know, her fans.
Well, I hope she does break out of it.
Yeah, she might. You know,
I hope
you know.
She does. I hope this makes her become a good actress.
The good thing about going to that movie is it's not a felony if you tame your dragon at the movie as opposed to a playground.
No, as long as you release your Kraken.
Right. Release the Kraken. But leave the campsite cleaner than you found it.
Exactly.
Right.
That's how you should live life.
Little better than you found it, absolutely. And that, oddly enough, that's not the worst movie to come out this weekend.
What's the worst one, buddy?
This next one called Furry Vengeance.
Jesus.
Now, this is, quote...
Watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, very,
that's
very...
That's an untrained dragon.
Sounds like a porno from the 80s. Am I right?
Jimmy Dore, everybody. Citizen Jimmy. Check it out on Comedy Central.
It was award-winning. On a brag, but iTunes chose it as the best of the year, and so did Punchline Magazine. And the reason I tell you guys that Because it turns out if I don't, nobody fucking will.
Well, you just told everyone listening. There you go. There you go. Absolutely. God go see. You. Make sure. Now, is it on demand? Can people see Citizen
Kane? They can get it on Netflix. In fact, Netflix, how they recommend things for you. Then they
recommend for me specifically
for you specifically off right. of your choices and how you right. graded things. So they recommended Citizen Jimmy. You would like 3 out of 5 stars. I think I might like my special a little bit more than that. Well, even I don't like my own special. They would think nobody really like that. But it's just weird. And I showed it at my Pop and Politics show. I showed that screen. That's fucking hilarious. So I took a screenshot of it and I showed.
There's
it
no
it.
Way you would like this.
Yeah, you'd stars. Probably only like this 3 out of 5 stars.
I did a special. I like it. It's not 4 stars. It's 3. It's not, I didn't give it 2. I'll give my own special 3 stars.
I was really happy with that special, actually. I don't know when that's not what we're supposed to be talking about right now, but...
No, we'll get to you. You can plug everything absolutely. You want in a second. As soon as we make fun of Furry Vengeance.
Furry Vengeance. First off, this must be some weird indie that's got like a weird vibe. No, it's some crazy kids movie with Brendan Fraser and Brooke Shields, where they're greedy developers, and then the animals fight back. So it's Brendan Fraser fighting raccoons and mice.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Brendan Fraser and Brooke Shields and their eyebrows fight.
Wow, that would be a much more compelling
release
movie.
The unibrow!
That I would watch that movie. If their eyebrows actually came to life and fought each other, now that's a movie I could get behind. And it's not even like CG weird, like cool kind of raccoons. It's just they filmed a raccoon walking across the lawn, and then, you know, Brendan Fraser jumps up and does one of his
goofy. Well, let's pitch it to MGM. They bought Hot Tub Time Machine. Let's just go in there and just say, eyebrow fight. Sell it. Sold. Done. Book it.
Eyebrow fight machine.
Have you guys ever tried to sell a movie to the studio?
Yeah. Many times.
That's why we're doing a podcast in a garage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you have tried, but you have tried to sell movies?
Yes.
Oh, I've sold movies.
Oh, you've sold movies?
Yeah, and optioned and, yeah.
Oh, so you guys are in the game?
Been in development, you know.
Yeah?
Never produced.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we get some advertising, get some money together. We'll make a movie.
Absolutely.
Boom.
Oh, make a movie, sure.
Mm-hmm. Tour it around
CFN
the country.
CFN Productions.
Everybody talks about the Jerry Swallow success story, right? About how they sold a movie for $1 million and... You heard that story, right?
That doesn't really exist anymore.
That doesn't happen anymore?
It's very rare. It's very rare, because all the studios kind of tightened up their purse strings. The money's not there as much anymore.
But we're going to make something. That's our goal. We're going to produce content, like films and stuff. That's definitely was our goal from day one with this.
Absolutely. A little sneak preview of the next 5 years.
Get ready. When we get to a bigger garage, we'll start making some real movies.
Yeah, then it'll be a studio.
We could be like, you guys could be like the new Cassavetes.
That's what we're going to do.
Exactly.
Yes. Right? You ever see that? I've seen some of those movies where with the one with Columbo and his wife was crazy. What's that one called?
Columbo and the wife and the crazy wife?
Yeah.
No, I forget what you're talking about.
Cannonball Run?
No, something about...
Cannonball Run.
No, I like Cassavetes movies. Right? Don't you guys like it?
Yes. You like Cassavetes movies?
It's going to kill me when it is, but anyway, so go ahead.
All right, well, I think that's pretty much our show.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's coming out this week, and we'll start the round of what else is going on and coming up.
Well, Jimmy, what do you got going on? What do you want to promote to our fine listeners out there in Film Nerd Land?
Well, if you like if you're a fan of The Daily Show or Stephen Colbert, I do a radio show that's kind of like that. It's called The Jimmy Dore Show, and you can get that as a podcast at iTunes. And that's from KPFK in Los Angeles, so that's I like that. And I have another podcast where I interview comedians, and we do other things, too. It's called Comedy and Everything Else.
That's also on iTunes?
That's also on
iTunes.
And
you do that with Stephanie, right?
Well, with Steph Zamorano right now, and her cast of rotating people. And, Graham, you were just a guest last week.
Loved it.
So those are the two big things I'm doing right now, and I have a show at the UCB Theater, but that's... I don't need to plug that because that's doing okay right now.
And then how can people get a hold of you? Facebook?
Jimmy, I'm on Facebook, sure. And then JimmyDoreComedy.com. You can sign my email list and I'll let you know when I'm coming to your town or when I'm going to be on TV and all that good stuff.
Are you on the Twitter?
I am on, you know what? I hesitate to give out my Twitter because I don't twit. I don't fucking...
You don't twit?
You don't twat?
I don't twat, tweet. It's fuck. I do a little. But not much, and it's just Facebook. You know what Facebook is? There's content there. It's not. If Twitter is content-less. It is fucking retarded. And Facebook is. There's things you can do. I can post an article, and we can have a discussion, and I can post a video, and we can talk about. This is nothing. Twitter is. Twitter is an insult to your brain.
That would be a great tweet. Twitter is an insult to your brain.
I can't get used to the 140. I'm like, I got something to say.
Yeah.
I got something to actually say that's worthwhile. I need 5 more fucking characters.
Well, you just type more, and then you do it again.
I'm doing that shit.
All right.
And then I go on Twitter just so I can hound Horn Hatch and call him a hypocrite. You know, because sometimes Jane Wilson says she gets people to respond
to
her.
Yeah, she sure does. She had like a Fox News host actually respond to her, telling her that she had some good points.
Oh, nice.
I can't get anybody to respond to me.
Nice.
Except on Facebook. People are really sensitive on Facebook. Hey, everybody toughen up on Facebook, all right?
Yeah,
you better be busting your balls when you say stupid shit.
Yeah, get ready. Don't post something and then act shocked when people come back with shit you don't want to hear.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, you just spoke up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guess what?
It's not an echo chamber.
No.
It's the internet.
So what, any road dates you want to promote coming up? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be in Tempe at the...
The Improv?
No. The Mad Hatter. The Mad Hatter Theater, which is on, which is in Tempe on Mill Avenue, and I'll be there April 16 and 17, and in Bloomington Funny Bone in Bloomington, Indiana, the week before that, April 8, 9, and 10.
That's a great club. I've done
that
club.
You've been there,
that's,
right?
I love the Bloomington Funny Bone. It's great.
Come out and see. I'll be with Bobby Miyamoto in Tempe and with Gabe Key in Indiana.
Nice. Both funny guys.
Oh, you know those guys?
Yeah, I know Bobby for sure. Gabe, I've heard of.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a Midwest guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding.
All right. Thanks for, this has been fun.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for being on the show. Chris, what do we got?
We got our usual stuff. We got some great stuff on the site. We're actually going to be adding a bunch more. And as always, I have my book, Pacify Me, a handbook for the freaked out new dad. And also, I am going to be plugging a tour date.
Whoa!
April 25th, I'll be at the Improv in Las Vegas, opening for probably a comedian that's 1,000 years old.
I worked there and I opened for that guy, Shelley Berman.
Yeah, it's
an old school comedy.
What else?
But you know,
maybe Vinny Favorito will be there.
Yeah. He's got his own show.
He's got his own show at the Flamingo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you go over to tell him Vinny sent you, but they'll take care.
But we, you know, we're doing. We want to say you guys have been really supportive of the show. You've been buying a lot of stuff on the site. We appreciate it because we've got the gift packs. Like Doug Benson, we have both the CDs plus a T-shirt, and of course, Graham, you've got your gift pack.
I've got my gift pack. You'll get my new CD, Graham L. with the Comedian's Got a Boo Boo. It'll be personally autographed. You can pick your Palm Strike shirt, either black for the ladies or the gold one, bandana, and I'll throw in Free My Life from Afghanistan DVD just for buying the gift pack.
Bandana, what is
the gift
pack? Or fandana?
Fandana.
What does a gift pack cost?
A gift pack costs, it varies, but you're saving money. You're getting more.
What does your gift pack cost?
What is the price?
About 30-something?
30-some bucks, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah.
And you get a free DVD on top of it, so you're saving like 15 bucks on that. If you buy the Doug Benson gift pack, you get a free shirt.
Yep. Makes it worth your while.
Yes, it does.
Oh, all right, we got to talk after this.
Yeah, Jimmy, we might be having some new products with Jimmy Doe in the stove.
Yeah,
come
right.
on.
I got my
comedy Simpsons and everything else plus clothing.
Yes. So, and I will be April 1st, I'll be in Providence, Rhode Island with Doug Benson, April 2nd in Boston, April 3rd in Chicopee, Massachusetts, and then the week after that, April 8, 9, and 10, I'll be in Eugene, Oregon, Portland, and Bend, Oregon. And then April 15 through 17, I'll be at the Comedy on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin. And then I'll be in Milwaukee in the Acme Theater. So
all these dates will be on the Comedy Film Nerds.
Yes.
Calendar, though.
So yes, they'll be on the Comedy Film Nerds calendar. And, of course, Chris and I are both on Twitter. And Facebook, and Comedy Film Nerds is on Twitter and Facebook, so check us out. And we appreciate all your comments on iTunes.
I was going to say one other thing we forgot is we have that contest for Stephanie Wilder Taylor's book right now. They're in the message boards. You go into the message boards and say who would play Stephanie Wilder Taylor in a movie and why. And there'll be 3 signed books going out, and that's going to end April 2nd, I believe, that Sunday. Stephanie's going to pick 3 winners. So there aren't that many posts right now, so you got a really good chance of winning. So definitely go there and make a post, and you know what? You'll probably win.
Yeah.
So definitely go out there.
And send us your theme songs, and if you're any advertisers out there. So info@comedyfilmers.com. So thank you very much for listening. We want to thank Jimmy Dore, our guest.
My last name is spelled D-O-R-E, by the way, if anybody gives a shit, huh?
Yeah, how about
we care.
All right. Let's go tame that dragon, motherfucker.
All right. So I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Remember, Han shot first.